Tweet at TodaySOR.
You're welcome back to the programme. Now, economic research indicates that our poor language skills here in Ireland mean that our graduates are missing out on jobs, with many high-tech firms recruiting from outside the country, and with the previous boss of Google lamenting the poor linguistic record of Irish graduates. So just why are we missing out on these opportunities, and what more needs to be done to improve our language skills, and indeed to harness the linguistic diversity of our immigrant community? Well, I'm joined now by Anani Gyalakar, who is Director of the Language Centre at Maynooth. She joins us on the line from Italy. I'm also joined by Lynn Ruan, who's president of the Students' Union in Trinity College Dublin, and by Paul Gillespie, former foreign policy editor with the Irish Times. You're all very welcome and thank you for joining us this morning. Paul, I'll go to you first of all. I mean, I suppose from a lot of people, we'd say, well, look, we speak English. It is the global language of commerce, of technology. Does it really matter if we don't have other languages?
Well, it may have mattered much less the last 15 or 20 years. But now around Europe and around the world, English is becoming precisely that global language. So in crude terms, you're losing the competitiveness. But it highlights the issue here that we've become careless and lazy about our language policies, seems to me, over that same period, as this Anglosphere, English-speaking world, expanded. And you can see this by the way languages are treated in the education system. Ireland is the only country, along with Scotland, in Europe not to have a compulsory approach to foreign language at any of the levels, primary, secondary or third level for education. The experience at primary level is remarkable. Only a small proportion, I think something like 5 or 7% of children study a language other than Irish or English at primary level, whereas around Europe, I think the average is something like 50 or more percent, and an increasing percent. Now, a lot of the work that's been done in research terms, you know, would show in Ireland and elsewhere that children, the earlier they learn other languages, the better, because there's much more facility for it. And for a very interesting programme entitled The Modern Languages in Primary Schools Initiative, which ran from 1998 to 2012, actually explored this in the Irish setting and got a very enthusiastic response from many schools. It was closed by the budget in 2011, a very bad decision. And just one other thing is that there's now, it seems, proposals to relax the requirement for secondary students going into university to have a language. All of this is going backwards.
But it does come back to the issue. I mean, if you go to Italy, you will see there, for example, Italy, Spain, France, any of these countries, the learning of English is absolutely prioritised by schools, by parents, because they know that is a bridge to a job for many of the children. In Ireland, it's a little bit different. I mean, what is the research that actually says if our students were better at foreign languages, they would have greater opportunities in the workplace?
Well, the research comes from employers who were saying this, who Google you mentioned, but the German Chamber of Commerce says it regularly. Many Spanish, other German, other world language employers say the same thing. You find people...
And are they good jobs? Because you'd think the tech jobs...
Of course.
You wouldn't need languages to be a programmer or a...
It's worth looking at the German experience, for example. This is not an issue only for arts and humanities students. It seems to me across the board. So that if you have qualifications in engineering, for example, and German, you open up the German market for yourself, and you might multiply the examples. Now, I would take the point that English as a second language, compared to French or Italian or German in Ireland, is a rather different problem. Position, and that needs exploration. But you're still going back to the argument for economic opportunity, but also for cultural development. The need for a foreign language is something that's there and that we're neglecting.
And Lynn Ruan, to bring you in on it, you know, there is a socioeconomic disparity around the access to language teaching in Ireland as well here, isn't there?
There is. Like, I don't think about jobs when I think about language. I look at access to third level education, especially from kids from DESH schools. The current situation in some schools, in DESH schools, is that children at the age of 12 don't even have the option of taking a language, and it's the top two classes, sometimes the top three classes, that have access to do like French or Spanish, and every other child under that is ruled out at the age of 12. So that's setting their life path really from the age of 12, because there's so many courses in toward level that you do need a language for, and they've been cut off at the age of 12. So that would be the issue for me.
Do you know what the thinking behind that is? Is it, you know, let's not waste our resources on children?
It possibly
who,
is. I mean, it's possibly looking at ability. So the entrance exam, I know they've changed it slightly, but they're obviously basing it off this exam, and they're basically stopping kids at the age of 12 being able to access toward level education. And I would say that they somehow see as ability. You know, they probably think that anyone that doesn't make it into them top two classes doesn't have the ability to learn a language, which I think is wrong. I think I done French, I got into the highest class and I struggled. There was probably a kid in a lower class that probably would have done a lot better at French than I did, but I was taking up that space in that room because they assumed that because I scored a certain level in an entrance exam that I was going to be well able
to. So
you
were a brighter student, so they decided, well, you deserve to learn a language.
Yeah.
Whereas you've two children yourself now as
I
well
do,
going
yeah.
through the
yeah.
second level system.
Yeah.
What is their experience?
My daughter, I have one daughter who has dyscalculia, which means that she struggles with language, but she is in the highest classes, which means she gets to do Spanish and she does really well. But if you were to look at her on any other level, you would think that she didn't have the ability because of the problem with math and language, but she doesn't. She really excels in Spanish, which is, it proves the theory wrong in terms of categorising them from so young. My youngest girl would be very, very good at language. She went to a Gael school. I'm hoping now in the next few weeks she's going to begin German in Trinity, where I have a student lined up to teach her German once a week. But that's me having to do that off my own, off just, you know, because I decided I would like her to have another language. Because if you look at the NUIs, you know, for some of their courses, Irish is not considered the second language. You actually have to have a third language to enter some of their courses. So that obviously even, you know, makes it even harder for kids to get into college if you're not going to include Irish as a second language.
It's interesting. So this is an access issue, Paul. You've been speaking about jobs. Now, Anani Gyalakyar, as I say, she joins us on the line from Perugia in Italy. But Anna, I suppose we've spoken about some of the practicalities of languages, but there are other benefits to teaching children foreign languages early in their life. Can you talk to me about kind of some of the developmental benefits of that?
Yeah, there certainly are, but I suppose I'd like to go back to the issue raised by the first two speakers in that I suppose the way things have been developing at the moment, to some extent, language learning has become a class issue, and that is the same in England in particular, where I suppose parents from stronger educational backgrounds tend to insist that their children do languages, whereas perhaps those from disadvantaged educational backgrounds are not immediately aware of the benefits of learning language. When the English government decided that it was actually a Labour government decided in 2004 that language learning should no longer be compulsory after key stage 4, which is about the age of 14. The schools that dropped out of teaching languages post 14 were actually in socially disadvantaged areas, and you found that private schools continued teaching languages, and again also that the numbers in the more prestigious universities remained very strong. So I suppose I wrote to the Irish Times about this because I was concerned that sometimes the perception of compulsion is that it is an illiberal concept, whereas very often compulsion is the only way you can ensure equality of access. Just on the point of whether of what
the other benefits
about this at government level, and my understanding is that from 2017 language learning will be compulsory. Now there are one or two sentences on the NCCA, the National Council for Curriculum and Assessment website, that would seem to contradict that position, but I am sure that that is what is going to happen.
So from 2017 what exactly is going to be compulsory, doing a foreign language to go on.
That there are statements of learning which each school must produce for each student, and that there are, I think, 20 in all, and that language, a third language, if you like, a foreign language, will be included in those statements of learning. There are one or two sentences on the website which seem to contradict that position, but I'm reassured that that is the case.
And is the learning of a third language up to what stage will be compulsory?
Up to the end of junior cycle.
Okay, so I mean, I suppose that is a development then, isn't it?
It's a recognition, I think, of the importance of languages, because language learning is compulsory everywhere throughout Europe other than Scotland and Ireland at the moment.
It does raise another question, Anna. I mean, do we have the teachers? Do we have enough foreign language teachers currently in Ireland to provide this compulsory teaching to all of our students up to Junior Cert?
Yes. I think we probably do, but I think we have to look at, I suppose, the quality of the teaching in some instances, and I mean, that's not a problem that's peculiar to Ireland. I suppose students who do well share some, I suppose, common features, and one is that they come from classrooms where the teachers have a high level of competency in the language, number one, and number two, where the target language is used a lot in the classroom. So I suppose I'm not sure that all of our teachers, as we are producing them at the moment, are capable of using the target language in the classroom for the entire duration or almost the entire duration of the class. And I think...
So we may have to ramp up our teaching skills here, Paul, you wanted to come in on this.
Yeah, it's worth making the point. One language helps another. A third language, in addition to Irish and English, it helps the multilingualism of the individual. That's number one. The second point, we have many, many more languages being spoken in Ireland now because of migration, because of immigration, something like 200 languages. These people are coming through schools. There's a great opportunity to develop that multilingualism within this education system and harness it into, I would hope, a revival of particularly on the Irish side of things, but also of English as we understand it as well.
We've had a couple of people in touch with us. They're very much talking about the Irish language. One caller here, Ed, says, Keelan, Irish is of no value to anyone except a handful of Gaelgors. Resources are wasted on it and should be focused on languages that actually matter. Another caller, a mother of two primary school children, she says Irish should not be compulsory. It's nonsense to give so much class time to it every day. If another European language was given the same class time, it would be much more worthwhile. But conversely, you would think, Anna, I'll go back to you on this as an academic in the area, you would think that our teaching of Irish as a second language, it should have facilitated our learning of a third language. We should be much better at languages than we are.
And we do. We do a little bit better than the UK, and very often that is put down to the presence of the Irish language in the classroom. I do go back to a point that was raised about earlier intervention and earlier teaching of the foreign language. There's a very good example of what I suppose the approach that I would suggest that should be taken in this matter, in this area, and what I suppose I call the language awareness approach. It will be found in a school in Blanchardstown called Scoldvija, where there's an integrated approach to the teaching of Irish and the presence of other languages in the school. It's a school in which I think 80% of the pupils do not have English or Irish as their mother tongue. But all of the languages in the school are valued. They are used in the classroom and in association with Irish, and also I think they teach French as well to some of the more senior classes.
Okay.
And I have seen the results of I've seen homework of some of those students, and they're really very impressive. And I suppose that's the sort of approach that is suggested also by the Council of Europe, who produced a report on language teaching in Ireland in 2006, was a more integrated approach to language learning, that it shouldn't be Irish or a foreign language. It should be Irish and the foreign languages, and that there should be an integrated approach to that in the teaching and indeed in the general culture of the schools.
Around languages.
Around languages, absolutely. I think that's really the way to go.
Okay. Lynn, it was interesting. Sorry, Anna, but to bring you back in here, Lynn, it was interesting you were saying that your younger daughter went to a Gael school. I mean, and that she is very good at Spanish, I think it was you were saying. I mean, did you find that her experience of language learning was entirely changed by the fact that she had been educated through her non-mother tongue, if you like?
Yeah, well, it's me older daughter who didn't go to the Gael school that is good at the Spanish. But my youngest daughter learns Spanish. Spanish from her older sister very, very easily, and she's only 8. So she's learning Spanish from her sister. She's also very good at the Irish language, and that's why I'm introducing German as well. And I think that's because she has been learning Irish from, you know, from the age of 4, from since she's been in an Inra. So I definitely think that language should be introduced, not just Irish language, all languages should be introduced right from primary level. Doesn't have to be in any sort of, you know, strict way. It can be just in an accessible, fun way, so that kids are getting introduced to language right through primary, so that when they make that transition to secondary, then they can take a much more serious involvement in language.
Yeah, is it?
Keelan, just in terms of the migrant languages of Ireland, but we do something in Ireland which is not found in other countries in Europe, and that we offer examinations in what are called the non-curricular languages, which are languages of EU citizens whose mother tongue is not English or Irish, and who are living in Ireland. And there are 16 of those currently tested at leaving certificate level. Now, teaching is not carried out by the Department of Education, but it's done sometimes in complementary schools.
Do you think that does for those languages, the fact that they're acknowledged at leaving cert level at that? Do you think that kind of promotes them?
It's extremely important, and it also means that those languages are taught in what are called complementary schools sometimes, which take place on a Saturday or Sunday at the weekend, and which are sponsored sometimes by the ministries of the countries or just by the communities in Ireland. I think it's a very important development, and it's something that I understand the Department of Education tends to build on in the not-too-distant future. So they are aware of that very valuable resource available to us, I suppose, in economic and social
terms. Languages that our migrant population, or immigrant population has.
Yes.
Paul, I mean, there are other questions here about the languages we choose to learn. Many could say the most useful language to any child would be to learn coding from Nina on. I mean, the French, German, Spanish, these tend to be the languages taught in our schools, predominantly French. Should we be looking at expanding that to Mandarin, for example, to some of the languages used in India?
I'm sure we should, yes. There are moves on Mandarin, there are moves at university. For example, in University College Cork, it's going very well. Yes, the world of languages is expanding. French has been pretty predominant in the secondary system particularly, but it's no longer as dominant a language as it was before, whereas Italian, particularly Spanish now, is very important language in world terms, and many of the non-European languages are coming up as well.
Mm. There's an interesting text here from a teacher. I'm a French teacher in a less advantaged area in Dublin. The reason many students in lower grade classes are often not offered the option to take a foreign language is not based on their entry level exam results, but on the fact that they're often offered extra support in maths and English at that time, which are subjects that are, this teacher says, unfortunately, deemed more important in our education system. I mean, Lynn, it is an interesting point. I mean, if you have a student who's struggling, do you give them extra subjects, extra work, or do you concentrate on the very core subjects?
Well, they've come to the conclusion that the child is struggling before they've even began to teach them. So the teachers in the secondary schools have not even met these children yet, and they've decided that they're going to struggle. So of course I understand that kids are going to need extra supports, but that doesn't mean that you preempt that. I think you work with children to a certain point within the secondary school system, figure out then as you get to know them over the course of the first year in school and see if they need extra help. That doesn't mean that they're not going to be capable of a language. If anything, you know, language is as important as maths for some courses, so it needs to be looked at equally.
Okay, listen, we're going to leave it there for now. Thank you all very much indeed for joining us this morning. That's Paul Gillespie, Lynn Rowan and Anna Ní Chealacar.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.